Hey, everybody. Really great show this morning. We speak in depth about some of the recent announcements from brands like Digidaigaku, as well as Otherdeed, about their future plans for their metaverse-related building. And then we also talk about like what fair value is for certain NFT projects. We bring up the CloneX Murakami Air Force One Nike collaboration and how it was a lot easier to assign value to that because of the history of the sneaker business, you know, versus just a pure play digital asset that's in a new market like NFTs. This show is sponsored by the Thunderbirds NFT collection, who's got a deep partnership with the Sandbox. Really, really interesting sponsor for the day. They're taking some old IP, they acquired the rights to it, and they're bringing it into the Web3 space. Really cool stuff. Hope you enjoy the show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, September 2nd, and you have tuned into the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time each and every week. Today's the last show of the week, so you know it's going to be a good one. This show is focused on the NFT market, figuring out which projects are working, which projects are hurting, what's going up, what's going down, and of course, all of the stories of the NFT space. I'm P.O. here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Signal, and some of our badass speakers, Benjamin, Node, Nucci's on today, Micah G, and Vicky. And today's show is sponsored by the Thunderbirds NFT project. We are going to learn all about them. We have Sebastian on stage, who's the co-founder and CEO of the Sandbox. So it's going to be really exciting to hear from him and the Thunderbird squad about this NFT collection. You're not going to want to miss it. If you retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow the Thunderbirds Twitter handle that's listed in there, then you will be entered for a chance to win one of three NFTs that we're giving away at the end of the show. So you don't want to miss that. You have to be in the audience at the end of the show to be able to win. So we have a lot of stuff to cover today, like a ton. And I mean, look, I slept on what me and Node discussed on Node Mode yesterday. And I'm just like, wait a minute, I feel like I have to spend $25,000 on NFTs right now. And I can't figure out if I'm crazy. Node, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Just bought another Chromie. probably gonna buy a Fidenza later. But overall, good. Thanks.
Well, that was a good joke.
Love you, Kix. Love you. I'm doing great. We had really, really good feedback. Everybody loves Chris Bennett. I do want to buy all the art passes now. So it's going to be a challenge. I too need to spend about 25, 50K.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the more I thought about the stuff that we did, and then also the NFT that we bought yesterday on the show that felt like a no-brainer turned out to be a no-brainer. And now I'm like, why didn't I buy 20 of them? Which is always how it goes. So I'm just like all over the place. Then at the same time, I'm like, ugh, like what's going to happen between now and the end of the year? So we got to dive into
which one is this?
The one you bought, buddy, the sneaker.
Oh, so that y'all were discussing this. Well, what's the price?
We didn't discuss
now?
The sneaker on the show, or maybe we touched on it for like 1 second, but it's pushing 0.8.
Yeah. So I saw that last night, but I'm wondering what, I'm actually pissed I didn't pick up my second during that transaction, which is what I wanted to do. Yeah, but what's the one on the show that you got?
Oh, we'll totally talk about it, Nick. We'll get back to that a little bit later.
No, how about you just tell me real quick?
We're going to totally get back to that one. You're going to find out with everybody else, you know, what the product.
Okay, I'll just look it up and spoil this for everybody.
But before we go any further, we got Vicky on stage 2 days in a row. She's taking a break from the ice cream shop. Vicky, what's going on?
I wanted to give Signal her flowers, and I hope to hell she's back doing the weather yesterday because, you know, Nick's, you know, obviously the top of his game is a crypto punk, but he certainly isn't a weather man. So flowers to Signal.
Yeah, like everyone's just saying, like, Nick, at being a crypto punk, obviously he's at the top of his game because just having a crypto punk makes you better than everybody else. But when it came to delivering the weather, I almost felt like he was overindulgent. Do you think that's fair to say, Vicky?
Yeah, back to Signal on weather, I think.
I was on the plane last night laughing out loud. The people next to me in my seat were staring at me like, what is wrong with this person? Because Nick's weather report, as he was munching on collectible M&Ms, I was like, and then he was tearing down Method Man. And I was like, oh my goodness.
No. I wasn't the one who disrespected Method Man.
So I cut him into tiny, tiny pieces, and you noted that in the report. But honestly, that was probably the funniest takeoff I've ever had. And then unfortunately, I lost the rest of the connection. But don't worry, guys. The British person is back on the weather report. And we're going to go back to conservative, clear skies, sunshine, lightning. I'll give it to you all.
Well, we can't wait for it. I love thank you for reminding me that Nick bought $50 collectible Bored Ape M&Ms, which are, I mean, it's just obvious. That's just something that you don't eat. And he just, like, you know, had an impulse and started eating them.
It wasn't an impulse. I saw, dude, it's the same thing I'm going to do with the artifact. I'm going to have two of these things. Unless the price keeps going up, then I'm going to only have one. And so, but I need two. I need one to cherish, and then the other one to consume and experience the joy of actually utilizing the product that I got. So
one to rock, one to stock.
We all know he's going to eat that second box of M&Ms. There's no way that's still going to be sealed by Christmas.
It's going to be sealed. I guarantee it. I can like walk down the street and get M&Ms if I really wanted. I don't even love M&Ms. It's usually like I'm in a negative mood when I'm picking those things up, and then just like devouring. What's up with these like shareable size bags? That's a joke. Like no one shares that. You just eat the bag. Like that's the whole purpose.
Nick, are they like your guilty pleasure? Like when you get upset, that's what you go and eat?
Not really, but I mean, it's just one of those items where you like know it's a bad idea to go get a shareable size bag of M&Ms, and you go and pick them up, and you're just sitting there being like, I know damn well this isn't going to be shared with literally anybody other than myself. In fact, I'm going to get pissed off if someone comes over and puts their hand in that bag. I'm going to be like, yo, take your hand out of that bag. That's my bag. I don't care what it says on the side of it.
So Nick, what I'm picking up, Nick, is that Halloween's like a real challenging time for you.
Well, I'm not going door to door on Halloween anymore. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you know, a 40-year-old man knocking on doors being like, trick or treat.
But you're like, not 6'2".
Where's your kids? Where are your kids?
I meant more so that there's an abundance of candy everywhere you look. You know, it's just like you can't get away from it. That's got to be tough for you not to just be eating like Snickers bars on the way to the subway and stuff like that, right?
Bro, he wouldn't even share appetizers when we went out to lunch.
Okay. Okay.
Anyone who's eating collectibles at 9 a.m., that packet of M&Ms ain't making it to December.
Yeah, exactly.
You're making me guilty like I walked into someone else's house and then reached and found some collectible thing, snuck it into my bag and started munching on it. And I'm speaking from experience because that's totally the type of thing that I would do.
Hide your collectibles. Nick's in the house. Hide your collectibles.
I was founded on the theft of sweets from other people. Like I only have one story of this, which is I was in a play when I was like, I don't know, like 10 or something like that, or 9. I don't know my age. And I walk into the green room and someone had brought donuts, but now everyone's on stage. No one else is in the green room. I'm waiting on my time to go on stage in a minute. And I'm just like munching on the donuts. And the girl whose box it was comes around after she gets off stage during whatever scene she was doing. She's like, where's the donuts? And I'm sitting on the couch looking at me like, wow, yeah. I mean, someone really definitely came in here and ate those.
Wow. 9-year-old Nick in the business already, in the industry already, just refining, you know, honing his skills. I'm starting to get worried that you're going to eat the Murakami Air Force Ones when they come. Like, I feel like any sort of physical collectible.
If they were chocolate, yeah, maybe. have you seen that, like, is it cake or not? those Instagrams. I just cut through the shoes and we're like, well, it's cake.
Maybe that's the virality that we're looking for on shorts. That'll be how we actually end up, you know, cracking the 500,000 view, benchmark with our shorts is just Nick sawing into some Murakamis and trying to figure out whether they're food or not. What do you think of that, Nick?
I think that works.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, reminder to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Thunderbird's Twitter handle that's listed in the tweet to be entered for a chance to win. We'll be giving it away at the end of the show, giving away three NFTs at the end of the show. So stick around and you will have a chance to win. We have Signal back in action. Very, very exciting stuff. We don't have to listen to a Nick weather report again anytime soon. Signal, please take it away.
Thank you. Thanks, Pio. So today, folks, today is Friday, the 2nd of September. Overnight volume the past 24 hours is 11 million. So we're back down to those low teens. On to the leaders. There isn't really much change in the numbers. I would say the most notable news on the leaders is that the Doodles Twitter, which has about 300,000 followers, their last tweet was on July 28th. And there's so much FUD going on Twitter about this concerning Doodles communication that people have started threads which begin with, here's 8 easy ways for Doodles to engage their Twitter community right now. So Doodles facing quite a bit of FUD, but their floor still holding 8 ETH. Over the past 24 hours, it is Artifact continuing to lead the OpenSea ranks with their Season 1 Forge. We heard yesterday that the holders are getting a free t-shirt plus 2 items. Prices are changing a little bit overnight. Socks are still going for $60 and baseball caps are still reasonable. The biggest change is the basic Air Force Ones, so not even the Murakami, but the basic Air Force Ones. They are now $655, so we've had about a $100 jump over the past 24 hours. On to Digidai Daku, my favorite name to say. The holders are preparing for their airdrop. The founder tweeted that each Digi is going to receive a spirit, and the spirit is a core ingredient to creating a Digidai Gar. So if you only hold a spirit, you'll be able to mint a hero, but to have the strongest hero, you're going to need your Digi and your spirit. So you can see that Gabriel is starting to build out the lore, and that floor is holding 10 ETH. Overnight, we've had some floor sweeps coming in. Prancy swept Todd James Art Party Official. That's within the Goda ecosystem. Zeneca swept Nifty Portal. And 26 duplicators were bought for $40,000. So something's been going on with duplicators over the past couple of weeks because these sales have been coming through. And lastly, blockbuster season is upon us. Other Side Meta tweeted, the story continues later this Q4. They also had a 2-minute trailer featuring coders, potions, apes, and more lore. I have to say, you have got to give it to Yuga. That was a first-class trailer. Go watch it if you haven't. It's only 2 minutes. And the floor on Other Deed is back up to $2,800 per deed. On to crypto, not much there. We continue to range. So overall, if we look on month, I'm going to talk about this a bit because we are now at the beginning of fall and summer is over. So if you look month on month, that OpenSea volume has come down and so has the number of active traders by about 5% if we compare to July. August this year was nowhere near last year's volume when we did 3 billion. However, June and July this year did trade higher year on year. And looking at the daily volume, we're back down to these low teens. These low teens came off the back of the news when Powell gave the news about inflation. And it looks like we're starting to test this new lower range. So let's keep an eye. So for now, that 24-hour forecast, I'm going to say, is overcast, and it's now back to you folks.
Fantastic weather report. As usual, Signal, great to have you back. Some other updates from the Nifty Daily Digest, which is the newsletter that's written by Signal 5 days a week. You can subscribe at thenifty.com. Is to celebrate the Ethereum merge, Consensus, who are the developers of MetaMask, are launching, in quotes, one of the first sustainable NFT drops on the Ethereum mainnet called Regenesis. The limited edition NFTs will be free to mint on the day of the merge. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if that's something I'm interested in. Hermes, I'm probably saying that very unposh.
Which is Hermes.
I can't believe you just said that while this thing's recording. Look, that's crazy.
I'm a streetwear guy. Pio, you already know.
You sure you didn't catch any of that, Hermes?
There we go. I'm a streetwear guy. You already know. The global luxury brand has filed a trademark application for metaverse fashion shows, crypto, and NFTs months after filing a lawsuit against NFT project Meta Birkins for allegedly using its Birkin brand to sell digital collectibles. And last but not least, Coinbase NFT Marketplace hosted the charity auction for Bill Murray's 1,000-piece collection. The rarest piece sold for $185,000, 119 ETH, and grants the winner a beer with Bill Murray and a portrait painting. So that's a wild one.
And Theo, even more significant, that was more volume than they did for the entire month of August. So big gains there.
I mean, that is just insane. Imagine investing all of that money into an NFT platform when you're already a big hitter and it just doesn't stick at all. Ben, I saw you raise your hand. What's on your mind?
Hey, POGM. I wanted to comment on what Signal mentioned about the doodles. I put out a post the other day about it as well. And I think it kind of goes to, you know, the way that we expect communication from teams. And it's not even necessarily, you know, daily live updates on what they're doing with the project, but just being a part of the community and retweeting community posts and supporting people who are tweeting about it, I think is such, you know, low-hanging fruit that not only should the Doodles team be doing it, but it should be pretty standard for NFT projects, you know, to be able to do that. I think it makes a lot of sense. You put more visibility on your community. You make them feel more included in the team. And I can speak from personal experience. Whenever you get a retweet from like a Yuga or other side, like it amplifies everything and it just makes you feel more a part of that community. So I think it's something that they could easily do as well as the rest of the projects in the industry.
But Ben, they only have like $40 million or something like that. And so it's challenging to like recruit somebody to, you know, just retweet other tweets. Very expensive. One of the hardest people to actually hire on one staff. So you got to watch out for that. It's quite challenging. Social media
managers. Yeah, you can't even really hire a social media manager these days. It's so in demand.
I mean, I am curious, in all seriousness, Nick, what is like your objective take on that? Because I feel like it's completely preposterous.
Well, I sold mine at the Pico bottom, which still was like a gain for me. Someone was tweeting, they were like, oh man, Nick must be hurting off of this one. And I was like, not really. I think I sold it for like
Aggie Wears is a $175,000 punk. Yeah, he's really hurting that he bought for $75,000 less. He's struggling.
So yeah, it was, no, but I think, I mean, part of me, obviously when you could have sold it for two more ETH, you're always like, okay, well, I wish I had done that. But I think the bigger issue is not the social media, although that's just indicative of a broader thing. Initially, when that first came out, it was like, oh yeah, that is weird. Look at all these people FUDing, but they still haven't done shit about it. And it's sort of like,
what?
How do you not have anybody on your team to do that? Like, this is like 101. And they were like really good at engagement and they have a community that's going on. So I don't understand. Like, it's sort of mind-boggling that they just don't have anybody doing that. Literally, like, I have the Nifty Portal account on my phone, for example. For me to on the go, let's say you're busy, you're going in between meetings or you're traveling somewhere, you pull up the account for 2 seconds and just retweet somebody. Like, literally as simple as that.
You just hire someone. Like, we have Eric running that thing. I think
I'm saying, like, even if you didn't hire somebody, it's not like that much effort, because if you look at Yuga, the Bored Ape account, even they do it in like batches. Like, if you get alerts from Yuga, it'll basically, they'll just go and retweet 5 people in a row, and then they're gone for like a few hours. So it's like someone just hops on, goes about their day, and just does that. I don't know. So it's low hanging fruit. People appreciate it. And like Ben said, you get to elevate people in your community, which is exactly like, why wouldn't you do that?
Do you think they lost the password?
That literally could be it. And they're too embarrassed to disclose it. Nucci, go ahead.
That's legitimately what I was thinking. If like the intern was named Tommy and he was like, I want the next drop to be called Tommy's and I'm keeping the 2FA until you give it to me. Or if they've been hacked and like the person just like, well, give me some money and we'll give you the password back. And they're like going through a debate like that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, my thing is, on one side, you have them doing a deal with Pharrell, which is a big, big name to lock in. Having said that, I know that he's like...
He used to be a big name.
No, he's a big name, Kicks. And, you know, he's getting involved with more stuff. One of the projects that me and Node talked about yesterday that got my gears turning has him as either an advisor, or like, you know, he's on the team, so to speak, right? So that's like a huge deal to make. And obviously they have the money to pay someone like Pharrell for a deal like that, which is why it's so head scratching that you didn't just like pay somebody. I mean, if you throw like $5,000 a month at that problem, it disappears in a heartbeat. It literally disappears so fast if you throw $5,000 a month at that problem. And that's more than I think you even have to throw at that problem if you're Doodles.
How much you got to throw at that problem, Pia? You just throw it in someone's face? Like, is that how you sort of like approach the problem? Well, usually for everybody, for those that aren't clear about how we approach problems at Nifty Portal, we just throw money at the problem. Okay?
Yeah,
it's Nick, so easy to just respond or do anything or even send out like a scheduled tweet for a week from now if you, you know, didn't want to worry about having it put out today. But I think what's funny is, you know, Signal said that they haven't tweeted in the month of August, and that's right, except for they did reply to one single tweet of a Doodles giveaway with like a smiley face, and that's all they said for the whole month. So I think it's not even that you need to hire somebody. You just need to open up your phone, look at the notifications, and send out a retweet or two. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, what a weird issue to have as like an eight-figure, maybe close to nine-figure business. This is a very weird issue. I think anybody in the audience that has like a business that has real problems could probably, you know, point that out. Like, there's real problems in other businesses, but in one of our bigger Web3 businesses, a problem is that they will not hire somebody to run the Twitter. They just will not do it, and they have plenty of money, and I can imagine that there's plenty of people in the Discord that are down to do it. Go ahead, Nick.
I mean, we just don't know the situation at this point. I feel like it would be justifiable to just ping their team or hop in their Discord and ask them. Maybe a fair thing to do, because I don't know if has anybody done that. Maybe they did actually lose the account. Although you would have imagined that you would have imagined that if that was the case, that they would have like that someone else who owns a Doodle would have hopped in the Discord and that person would be like replying to your tweet, being like, okay, chill out, guys. You know, chill out. They lost the password. They're working on it. They're trying to recover it. Okay, guys, just chill out. All right. So I'm assuming that that's what would have happened. But you know what? I'm going to ask them in their Discord while everyone's up here discussing it. I'm going to say, we're looking for an official comment here.
You're going to show up with that CryptoPunk. Everybody's going to drop whatever they're doing. They're going to be like, oh my God, Nick is here and he owns a punk. Let's just get him whatever information he needs.
And I should get a free doodle while I'm in there. Thank you for coming, sir.
So I want to hear from Signal and then Micah G. Signal, what's going on?
Yeah, no, it's just on this Doodles thing. I think also some projects, and I've been in other communities where I've seen this happen, some projects think that because Yuga or the founders of Bored Ape before they became Yuga didn't tweet much and it still worked, that they can take that model and replicate it within their community. But I feel as if the Yuga founders found lightning in a bottle and they did what they did what they do and it works for them. But when you try and replicate someone else's model, you see that it doesn't work. And I think their strategy is to have, you know, Pharrell and to have all this big news that they announced in June and to think it's enough until the next big thing is released. And I think maybe they're hoping that whatever, that the album is so good that everyone will come to them when it gets released. But the problem is that they lose so much momentum and it creates so much antagonism between the community, the fact that we're even talking about it now, that you just see, like, you're seeing it in a Doodles prize. It comes down and it goes back up and it comes down and it goes back up. And it just doesn't work for them, especially considering the way they started out. It was like very cute, very innocent talking. And then now it's just like radio silence. Like, you've broken up, like they've ghosted you and you're just sitting there like, what did I do? When did this relationship fail? That's kind of how it feels.
I shouldn't have farted in the bed. We weren't that close.
Okay. All right. Okay. Nice. Micah G, what's going on?
Well, I was a little surprised by Signal's weather report, and I guess that just means that she was giving the weather report from the Ethereum land, because over in Solana land, it is sunny and raining cash money right now.
Okay, so, let's hear about it. Let's go.
Well, okay, I mean, obviously that's like the main thing, the exact opposite of Doodles being D-gods, just being basically taking over Twitter right now. But the thing that I liked or wanted to discuss a little bit more that came out last night is Frank announcing the shot against no royalty marketplaces, where they're going to start this thing out. You're going to get a tube, and if you trade that tube on a no royalty marketplace, it will be marked and it will be unredeemable for a ute. And then if you trade a ute or a DGOT or any of these things on non-royalty marketplaces, they don't get any of the perks for anything in the future without paying back the royalties that they owe. So I think it's a really interesting shot of basically, if you don't pay the royalties or you try to get around that and use Yaw or Famous Fox Federation or any of these other marketplaces that are doing zero creator royalties, they'll basically just mark the NFT and you can't participate in the ecosystem anymore until you pay back what's owed.
Well, that's more technological innovation from Frank and the gang. And in this instance, like kind of defending against creators, Nick, you unmuted, something to add there?
Well, two things. One, someone gave me a link from Doodles. So I got some information on that. But secondly, I was going to say regarding this, it sounds a little aggressive to cut off the NFT if you end up using it in the other space, like on another market. I understand the sort of motivation there, but
hey, if you want, you still get the NFT, right? The NFT still sits in your wallet. It's just, if you don't want to pay for future development, then great. You're not going to be involved in anything that team that needs a salary creates.
So this was from August 30th from Doodles. Just to wrap up that conversation, there was an update on August 30th from a team member. Wanted to give you a quick update relating to the EOM chatter. I don't know if it's that end of month chatter that's been circulating. When I mentioned EOM earlier, whatever, I guess end of month, I have no idea.
EOM, baby.
It was in response to when we'd be addressing the comms feedback. I'm not entirely sure where the chatter and confusion around it began, but that's but now that we're all here, let me share a few notes with you. We're still working on the best communication strategy moving forward. Updates will be given when there's truly something of impact to update the community on. We'll also be onboarding positions in social media and marketing. B, the next official update from Doodles will be focused on staffing, fundraising, key dates, art direction, and more. And C, we're hoping to start taking applications from Doodlers soon. Stay tuned. So sounds like they haven't hired anybody. They're working on hiring people. Some of those will come from actual Doodlers. But we will provide an update when there's more to share. In the interim, we will never fucking retweet you, okay? Remember that.
Wow, that sounded like it was an HR meeting at IBM or something. Not exactly what I was expecting to hear, but hopefully they do hire somebody. So we got Kix who just raised his hand. I don't want to hear from Node and Nucci. Kix, what's going on?
Sorry, I was sorry for that dead space there, Pio. I was typing in our dead air. I was typing in our Discord. I just wanted to give a quick little thought, because I sold one of my digis last night for 10.6.
Well, they pulled back that hard, huh?
It's even lower than that now, I think.
Damn.
And one of the because they like revealed like the airdrop, and basically you're gonna get like a spirit, and you can combine the spirit and get like a class, and you know, they're basically laying out the game, which is like cool and everything like that. But when I was like contemplating selling it, one of the things that I thought about just for the space in general, and especially when like legitimate companies are going to come into this space, like, because the models are really going to change. And like what the current model that, you know, Bored Ape Yacht Club like really kind of, you know, created is this rent seekers model, where people all fight over trying to get in early on this promising asset. And then the expectation is that like they're just going to get a shit ton of ecosystem value derived driven through that asset for them, right? And it creates this like massive rent seekers problem, because people just want to pile in early and they never want to sell, and they just want to get all of these airdrops, right? And all of this value embedded into them. But when you think about it, like if you put yourself in the shoes of like Gabe trying to make, is he just raised $200 million from investors. He's trying to make a Web3 game with like 500,000, a million players. What's more important to him, to make the free mints that they launched worth $500,000, or like onboard 500,000 to a million new users into their ecosystem, right? Now, that's not to say that they're not going to keep creating value for the free mints, but there's been this expectation in the NFT space that once a project drops their first NFT, if you buy that, you're like almost an equity investor in a sense. You're going to get a ton of value delivered to you over and over and over and over again, just like the Bored Ape Yacht Club model. And I just wanted to like, you know, share my thoughts that I think that there's probably going to be a shift in that model going forward, because it's very much a rent seeker model. It greatly benefits like the first few thousand people that gets in, arguably at the detriment of the next 100 or 200 or 300,000 people that you're trying to onboard into your ecosystem. So just some thoughts I had. I still got one more in the bag. Yeah, like I'm still very bullish on the like project, but I'm just like thinking in my head, I'm like, is he really going to make a project for millions of people, but like he has to funnel all of the value through 700 people that like got in early, and some of them like used bots to mass mint this? Like, is it his obligation to make all of these people filthy rich? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to say there. I think another thing to point out is that, you know, the market decides the price of these things, and the market has mistakes in it. So I think the market is identifying that trading the DigiDaiGaku at the top, which was what, 17 Ethereum kicks, something like that, 18 Ethereum, or maybe a little bit lower than that. That was a mistake. And now they're pulling back. And we'll find like quote unquote fair value for this stuff. Like, for example, with this Murakami sneaker thing that we bought through CloneX, that was one of the easier things to kind of put a fair value on, because it's a physical sneaker, and there's like decades worth of data surrounding the sneaker market that you can use to like assign a fair value to something like that. So I think what you're really talking about is like, what's the fair value of these digital assets in a time where we actually don't know what the rules are surrounding the digital assets, because there's just not a lot of historical data at this point. It's a brand new space, and when you listen to some people that are outside the space, like I listened to the All In podcast yesterday, and they briefly talked about NFTs at the beginning. And basically, three out of the four guys, the only one that didn't really like totally mail it in on NFTs was Sax. And I think it's because he's deep on the Solana side. The other three basically totally wrote it off as specifically a speculative bubble that was solely focused on art, which shows that they're coming from like the sort of CNBC perspective, where they just think NFTs are digital art. And they were basically like, it's not going to be something, you know, long term. So you kind of have that angle too, you know?
Yeah, they're completely wrong. But what you said, PO, I think is like spot on. You said it incredibly well, which is at the end of the day, what we're doing with a lot of these things is we're just really trying to speculatively value these assets and how we think they're going to work in the project ecosystem and what the founders are going to do with it. That's like so spot on. That's really what we're doing at the end of the day, because there's no way to like easily draw fundamental value earlier on, as opposed to the Murakami shoes, like you said, where you could be like, hey, you know, a 6,000 pair limited edition Nike shoe with a, you know, great collab. Those go on the market usually for $1,500. So you have that fundamental value analysis, but we don't have that here. But yeah, it was just something I was thinking. I've really been thinking about like rent seekers in the NFT space. And 90% of the NFT ecosystem right now is a rent seeker model. It's whoever gets in first and earliest gets a huge advantage over everyone else. And I do think we'll see that model start to change over time.
Yeah, exactly. So real quick, ladies and gentlemen, reminder to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Thunderbirds, today's show sponsor. You'll be entered for a chance to win one of three NFTs that we'll be giving away at the end of the show. You have to be listening to the show at that time to be able to win them. So stay tuned. Really excited about this one. We have Sebastian, the co-founder and COO of The Sandbox, ever heard of it, to help in the discussion. It's going to be an absolute jam. So look, I want to hear from Nucci. of course. I think that this might be like one of the first times Nucci's been on this show. And then I do want to hear from Jonah because we got to talk about Other Deed with Jonah. So you know we're going to get some serious
Jonah
research.
The essay writer out here. Just hope to God that guy doesn't like, you know, just drone on and on and on about his analysis, you know. It's just that guy's always coming up with long essays and stringing it together and taking up the entire show.
That's what happens when you do literally the deepest research and best research in the NFT space, ladies and gentlemen. Not exaggerating, not a joke. Nucci, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, I wanted to circle it back to what we were chatting about, what Frank said about royalties. It's a conversation we've been having at Preemin a lot lately because we run Vulcan, and I was thinking there might be an opportunity there to identify people in Discord who haven't paid a royalty. And I think in like the race to zero royalties, I think the creator's next step is to remove utility to some degree. I do agree with Nick that it seems a little draconian, like everything is gone. But I also think there's like certain projects where like that's really their only, like, unless they come up with like a completely new business model, that's certainly take. My one other thought is that like you might be able to do something kind of like an iPhone's iMessage, where you know how there's that like radioactive green awful bubble that comes in for an Android. If you gave them like that instead of a blue one, like in Discord, their name came in a different color, like a shame color for everyone to know, like this fucker bought it without any royalties.
That's positive. So, let's stone the guy that bought it with zero royalties.
So that was one thing that I do have a question I would like love at this stage and Nick's take on this one. And I'm not sure if this one's been beaten to death, but it's just the merge. I'm hearing so many conflicted opinions on what's going to happen post-merge. I don't know if anyone knows, but you know, in like Bitcoin land, I feel like we sort of knew it was going to happen after halvenings in general. I don't know if it'll continue, but like 2013, 2016, 2020, they were kind of like clockwork, like 6 months after the halvening, you can expect a huge run up. The most recent one, everyone thought, you know, that guy Plan B's model was going to take us to 100K. Obviously didn't, but we did see the run up we sort of expected to some degree. With the halvening coming up, with the merge coming up, I'm really confused because I get a lot of people who are like, the deflationary pressure is going to be nuts. Like, nobody's going to know it hit them. The price is going to go to the moon. And then I get a lot of people who are like, this is the first of like 7 steps in the merge. Gas isn't going anywhere. It's already priced in. Everything's going to crash.
And aren't we already deflationary?
I mean, they're saying it's going to be.
Well, it does burn, but I think there's still more that comes out. So it's inching toward deflationary, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, but like as Nucci's saying, some people are making it sound like it's going to be like deflationary at 20% a year.
There's going to be no ETH left.
There's going to be no ETH left. That's the thing. There's not going to be any ETH left, so you better stack it now because you're literally not going to be able to get it. I mean, we've talked about this, Nick. But Nick and Kix, I'd love to hear your
Yeah, I mean, basically, Nucci, what's going to happen is as soon as the merge hits, you're going to have double your NFTs. Now you're going to have proof of work NFTs and proof of stake NFTs. And it's up to you to decide which one is the true valuable one. Me and some other people, Kay Dean's involved. We're starting a movement. We're going to accumulate proof of work NFTs and really try to take over.
Yeah, that's official. That's an official statement right there. Is that Kay Dean is on the proof of work team, and he's saying proof of stake NFTs are nothing. He's going to floor them for like 0.01 because they're worthless, and the proof of work NFTs are the ones that you're going to move forward with. Nick, did you have anything to add before I throw to the Jonester?
Everyone keeps talking about price action as well. It's so difficult to predict, but for me, it's like, okay, let's say it becomes deflationary, although I don't even think it immediately becomes deflationary. I think it directionally continues to move toward deflationary, but it's not like so many are gone. I don't think the supply of ETH is the primary driver of the price. Instead, it's really just, I mean, the market is defined similar to NFTs. The price of anything is just determined by the floating price at that moment. So the people who want to sell, if there's buyers in the market who are willing to buy, you know, that's just the way that the price is defined at that moment in time. Like if you look at Moonbirds or something like that, there's a few hundred that are for sale. The price is whatever those couple hundred people are willing to actually sell theirs for. that's all that determines what the price is. That has nothing to do. Nothing's changed in the supply of moonbirds. Nothing has adjusted outside of news events, which you can is the information that you can go on. But the same thing, news impacts the price of stock. But again, 90% of people are just holding onto their stock. So the price is an arbitrary thing in my own opinion. And so it could go up or down, like no matter what. I just generally look at the technicals. Right now, ETH look very, very nice day. We've had a nice couple days here doing a little run up here. But what is that? What is that based on? Like, are you going to be like, oh, the price of ETH just changed because you know, Vitalik had a an interesting picture that, you know, was circulated. Is that the cause? You know, is that what's causing the entire market to trade Ethereum? I don't know. I don't think that happens to be the case. It has been going up or appreciating faster than the stock market, which has been taking, has not had a good week at all. It's been basically down only for the stock market.
Jerome Powell said, "Brace for pain." Yeah, like it should go down.
But ETH has been up. I mean, what, 200 over 1429? So this week you've had it up 14% essentially off the bottom.
Sell that stuff.
So what is that based on? Like, it's there's no everyone retroactively explains this stuff, and in a bull market, everyone explaining this stuff sounds a lot smarter because they're suddenly like, oh, I'm up 10x on the purchase that I made. These are just floating prices. And ultimately, you know, whatever people are willing to pay is whatever's going to happen. When you get a bunch of people jumping in to buy and there's more demand than supply, price goes up. When there's more people selling than there is demand, the price goes down. So that's as simple as it is. And now we can go get into like what we think should happen as a result of this, but I buy in far less to the deflationary impact on Ethereum itself. I'm more interested in holding, personally, I mean, this is an NFT show, so I have a bias toward NFTs, so I'm more interested in that for the long term. But I mean, I will add some ETH at some point. I just don't know where, to be completely honest. So, but
dude, brace for pain, man.
I hope it goes up. Well, brace for pain with the stock market. ETH right now is appreciating in the face of that, or maybe it was ahead. Maybe it's now operating, you know, days ahead of the actual stock market. So now the stock market goes up. I have no freaking clue. All I can tell right now is I would look at the price to go up to 1665 is the next line I got on my chart. So that's what I'm looking at. It's up right now. I don't know.
That's Nick's chart, Nick's technical analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, reminder to retweet the tweet that's pinned at the top and follow Thunderbirds for a chance to win. They are today's sponsor of the show. We'll be diving into that project a little bit later. I'm going to throw it to Jonah right now. Kix had a really great suggestion in the Discord. He said, let's have a Nick and Jonah show. Nick tells a 10-minute story about his stomach ache and eating too much candy. Then Jonah shares a 10-minute fundamental analysis on how 3D game assets will be a $1 trillion asset market. I'm a fan of this show already. I think it's fantastic. Jonah, how do you feel about a show with that structure?
I'm about it. And someone suggested I argue about pickles on cheeseburger. And my argument
that's a good
is,
one, too.
It's based on the Brian. I think, you know, pickles are kind of like a...
I
love morning phone call. That's the best. No, pickles, like, you know, they're kind of like fine wine. You know, they got to sit in the brine. It's got to hit that, you know, that meat. The whole thing, but I wanted
the show's already taken off.
Yeah,
people are subscribing.
Gonna be,
all right, go ahead, Jonah.
You know, Netflix is signing on. You know, it's gonna be great. The Weinstein Company is actually sponsoring it. So,
nice entertainment industry joke right there, Jonah. There you go. No, I got you. I pick up what you're putting down. It's a
very risky joke. But you know, the worst things.
Only insiders know about Harvey Weinstein.
And actors that audition, only two different types.
Oh my God, he's running with it. Look at this.
So I wanted to go off of Digi Daigaku because I actually spoke to the founder for almost an hour last night.
Low key flex.
It was not intentional. I added someone else in space and then we were talking, you know, talking smack about it. And he's like, I'm going to come up. And we spoke for an hour. So I think he may have given me some alpha not intentionally. I don't know if this does anything for you, but he plans on doing multiple games, whatever that means. And I asked him why he chose anime, and he was very clear, and this was recorded, so people can just like see it for them, listen to it themselves. Like, he said that his goal for a long time has been to have a top chart game in Japan specifically, and in the Asia market. And he feels that if he goes the anime route, and by the way, his co-founder, from what I understand, is Japanese. So like, he's, you know, he's got connections there. Games that do well in the Japanese and Asian market for something like this with NFTs, he thinks could be, you know, could get 100 million players. He was very clear that he's actually not building this for Web3. It, even though it's Web3 tech, he's building this for 100 million players. And that's why he's doing the things that he's doing. Also very interesting, Signal mentioned how the drop mechanics. I think it's pretty important to note, like, the airdrops are somewhat different based on the character class you choose. And also, it's not about having a soul and the NFT in the wallet. It's about them matching, not matching, or having only one. So, like, the royal one is the one you want. That's having a, like, having a soul and having the character match will apparently give you a higher tier. The middle tier is having one digi and then one soul, even if they're not matched. That's a warrior class. And the one that I find super interesting is the rogue class. So the rogue class is if you only have the soul in your wallet, like the soul being. And apparently this soul character is a douchebag or something is what he said and what his newsletter said. And it'll give you like really odd airdrops. I don't know what that means, but I think it's interesting.
Okay, so we get some deep info on Digidaigaku. Real quick, Jonah, Other Deed, what do you make of the news about
it? I thought the animation was amazing, and they better go make a movie before they release the game, because if they don't, they won't get players. I think gamers do not like the apes at all. Like, I don't think people realize how much gamers hate the Bored Apes, but I think...
They hate NFTs in general,
yeah,
don't
they? Especially the apes. Like, especially. Yeah. Like, there's no way around it. There's no... It's just not going to happen. So, I think if they make... Honestly, the Codas are genius, and they remind me of the minions from Despicable Me. So if they make a Coda movie or show where apes are there, like, guiding it on its journey, but it's about the Coda, I think they can change perception.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to do well. Like, let's be real. And one thing that Nucci brought up earlier that I think is worth talking about, I don't think we have time to do a full tilt deep dive into it, but one thing Nucci said, which we don't hear that much, but it's important to talk about, is revenue streams for NFT or Web3 businesses that are outside of royalties. And when you look at the best in class, aka Bored Ape Yacht Club, then you can kind of pretty quickly see where those revenue streams are going to come from. If they really do that Soho House thing, I'm sure that there's going to be a bunch of revenue generated from that. You got the merch that you know they're going to sell. And then Other Deed is basically like a platform for people to be able to develop their own metaverse games and metaverse software. You have to think that there's going to be a lot of revenue generated from that on top of the NFT sales, which they've already demonstrated that they're best in class for. Nifty Nick, you raise your hand. What's going on? Then we got to hear from Node today. Node's been patiently waiting.
I just don't understand. The one thing that's interesting to me is that the Codas are like this evil character, although in this trailer, I guess they don't look as evil, or you're at least getting
Nick,
another.
There was one evil Coda in one situation.
Yeah, but all of the characters, like even in the Eminem video, it looked like they were trying to avoid the evil Coda that was behind them when they got into that helicopter. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Obviously, you know, when it comes to land, we're going to have to get into that in a bit here. Is that would be an opportunity, a missed opportunity here. But yeah, I mean, the trailer is interesting. I don't know what the insight is there. Other Deeds, though, is something that we've been watching on an ongoing basis. And Pio and I know have mentioned to each other multiple times, just being like,
where do we buy it?
Like, when are we buying
it?
And so inevitably that's something I mean, I'm even looking right now and just being like, should I just pick up my like one of the plots right now?
Yeah, Franelations is in our DMs basically calling us wimps, like more or less. I mean, in the nicest way possible, because Fran's like the best guy ever. But the way I read the most recent one was basically that he's like, you know, kind of slapping us on the back of the head, being like, buy another deed, bozos. What are you doing? And I think he's probably right.
Well, until we understand what the like what the utility of it is, it's still at, I mean, it's just incredible the prices that these trade at today still.
Given the supply.
Given the supply, yeah. But obviously we'll have to get into a comparable thing here, which is Sandbox. But yeah, I think it's interesting nonetheless. Seeing a trailer like that, look, it's cool. It's something we've been discussing for our own projects, is the creative that we're going to have coming out. You know, ultimately, I don't know whether or not they just have, like it says, the story continues later this Q4. This is the type of stuff, though, that 10KTF is rolling out on a regular basis. So I don't know, like, to, you know, I'm assuming they just got an agency to put something like this together, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I will say, Yuga is coming up with varying ways to kind of provide or make their IP culturally relevant. And this is one of those models for doing that. And so that's where they have to invest a lot of their capital at this point, is in things like what we saw with the MTV Awards, find other ways to get exposure, try to get these characters, in particular, you know, the Codas and other side, into the mainstream before they even launch. And so they're doing I think they're doing a great job at that. And they're definitely good at keeping the hype. And there's a lot of people who are invested at this point. And for many people, there were a lot of people who bought into, you know, other deeds as their first Yuga asset. So there's a lot of people who are invested in non-insignificant ways. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Let's be real. They're going to make billions and billions of dollars off that IP, selling toys, selling like streetwear stuff, having people, you know, use the platform. It's going to be game over long term.
Like, you don't think they're going bankrupt?
They're literally going to absolutely dominate, and we're going to look like complete bozos for not buying the other deeds at sub 2 ETH. So we're going to have to figure that out. Look, I got to throw to Node. Node's the best guy for just sitting there waiting. Node, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin at this point, because it was like 50 minutes ago.
Look, sorry, I'm still sporting a CryptoPunk, so I'm allowed to do whatever I want. That's the type of utility
Stoked. I'm so stoked to be here. Look, I just talked over this guy, dude, because I'm the only Solana OG on stage. I'm so glad to be representing the community. So shout out to all my Solana peeps. You know what I mean? Easy. I see him in the crowd. My man, dude, I've been with him since day one. You know what I mean? Like, we've just been hustling on Sol since day one. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's talk about some stuff that I wanted to talk about earlier, and just disrupt the entire flow. So number one, doodles. I did have a little insider information, but of course my hand was drained as I was passed up, so I didn't get it in then. But their team size, they're down to a team size of 8, and I know they recently let go of a couple people, and I know that they do want to hire a social media manager. So that is probably the biggest reason, is they simply just do not have somebody in that position, or maybe they fired that person. Moving on to the next subject, which was the merge. I agree with most of what Nick said, but the one thing that he kind of disregarded or discounts, because, you know, sometimes he doesn't think very deeply, is the structural sell pressure. Like, you always talk about, you keep talking about Nifty Nick, about how it's all about people that are willing to sell and willing to buy. So the one impact that actually is true is that you've got 4% right now that's being issued every year of Ether to miners that will no longer be issued, right? And so those miners have to cover their electricity costs. So that's like real sell pressure that will actually disappear. So again, not on day one, it's just every day there's going to be a little bit less sell pressure every day. And over the course of a year, that probably adds up to billions of dollars. So I think that's a slow, it's going to be, my opinion is it's a long-term thing, right? The effect of it. In the near term, it's all about the narrative. Moving on to point number three, we talked about revenue models. And I do have to say, I was having this conversation with my guy Hofstra the other day, and he mentioned, you know, he's like, do you know of very many projects that have actually managed to generate revenue outside of NFT drops? Like, does anybody have any kind of sustainable cash flow model? And I was like, the only one that I can think of is the Nifty Portal, baby.
It's
like,
true,
you
baby.
Guys actually have revenue outside
Rug
of
Radio
NFTs.
Too. Shout out to Farouk, Rug Radio too.
Oh yeah, Rug Radio. Yeah,
the media
yep.
companies. The media.
The media companies have figured it out.
I'm just saying, and Bored Ape Yacht Club. Like Bored Ape Yacht Club will. I mean, they do, but they definitely will have serious. Revenue streams.
You're talking about the 30 black hoodies that I have from them?
The black hoodies, all definitely merch. Dude, they print money with merch. And then also like the Soho House thing. Like that's going to make money.
Well, I mean, that's pure speculation. I don't, that's not clear what the
it's going to happen, bro.
Okay, well, generally speaking, I don't know if you've looked at Soho House's financials, but they're awful. They
yeah,
lose
but the
money every single
Yacht Club
quarter.
Smarter. Way smarter.
Okay. Well, I've done a deep dive on those membership clubs, and basically the only the best approach is having one invite only, and you need high membership dues for that to work. But a lot of those companies, you also have to deal with churn because inherently those dues are expensive. The best ones are usually like, I would say in like suburbia where you have golf clubs and other things of that sort, where they actually, you know, you have a little more less competition, basically. But it's hard to make those membership clubs actually print cash. And ultimately, the real estate, when you get prime real estate, especially, it's really expensive to pull that off. So yeah, I'm interested to see how they do that. But you know, these two things do not connect. Your ability to generate revenue off of a digital asset business tends to not correlate to your ability to run a restaurant. So
restaurant, buddy.
But that's basically what those clubs are.
Dude, they can run a damn restaurant. I mean, let's be real. They're building anyway.
Dude, 90% of restaurateurs in New York City don't work out. So I'm just saying, like, there's no it's not, nothing's a guarantee in this world. So, they have a ton of ambition. So that's awesome.
My neighbor in Williamsburg is making his restaurant work big time. It's in the city. And this is the same guy that hit me up at 9:30 PM on a Wednesday and told me to meet him by the East River over where you get the ferry in Williamsburg. And when I got there, he was fishing out of the East River, and he literally gave me what he called a flopper, which was just a big fish he just caught out of the East River. And he put it in a tote bag and was like, take this back to the spot. We're going to cook it and eat it. And I was just like, what? And I was walking with it, and it flopped out of the bag. So then I'm just on the street in the heart of Williamsburg with a fish flopping up and down on the concrete.
An East River fish.
And then we got to his house, and he was like, yeah, we're gonna fillet this thing. And his wife comes out of like she had just put the kid to sleep, which is apparently murder because he was like 2 years old. And she was like, what are you doing? And he's just like, you said I never catch any fish. Look at this. And he fillets the thing and he's trying to give it to me. And I Googled it that you're not supposed to eat the fish out of the East River. And I was just like, dude, I don't want it. He's like, no, take it. And I was like, I don't want it, dude. And he ended up keeping the fish. And he like sent me pictures of the cooked fish to kind of flex on me.
So what's your point about, so he has to eat
that
East River?
Makes a restaurant work, and you're saying Bored Ape Yacht Club can't make a restaurant work. Greg from friggin', you know, North 7th Street is making a restaurant work.
I don't want East River
because he's giving you East River fish. Yeah, that's how he makes a living. So thanks for that story, Pio. I don't know what like you just proved my point. So.
No, shout out to St. Mark's in Manhattan. I mean, it's a legit restaurant. I think he'd let us shoot some stuff there too if we wanted some content in there. It's a really nice interior.
I don't know. The guy sounds like trouble.
Well, I rode in a van with him one time to go to Restaurant Depot so I could buy some food in bulk, and he treats red lights like stop signs
in New
York. What
are you doing after this show? What is going on with your life?
Anyway, ladies and
gentlemen,
we learned
something about Pio.
Reminder to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Thunderbirds for a chance to win one of three NFTs that we're giving away shortly on the show. We're going to be diving into this sponsored spot shortly and learning about the project. Very exciting stuff. I asked Cryptopolis to come on stage because Cryptopolis, always an interesting character. He operates in the free mint section of the NFT market, which is a fan favorite. A lot of NFT market participants like to operate in a low risk, potentially high reward part of the market, which is effectively a gamble. But Cryptopolis, what is on your mind? You got something to bring up?
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. First, I want to shout out to the Genuine Undead. I can see there's a huge army of us in the audience. But I have some potential alpha I wanted to get your expertise on because I don't know who this guy is. But there's this project called Mojis. It's sitting at a 0.01 floor, and they announced a partnership with Brian Jesposito from the Bapes Clan. And I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
How do you
if that's
spell
good,
it?
If it's bad. Mojis is M-O-J-I-S underscore NFT. And then Brian Jesposito, it's B-R-I-A-N-J-E-S-P-O-S-I-T-O. I guess he's from
Mojis
Clan.
Underscore NFT is an account.
Yeah, for Twitter, yeah.
Oh, for Twitter. I was talking about OpenSea. Okay, got it.
So but is this a free mint?
It was, yeah, it was. And a long, like a couple months ago. But do you guys know anything about Brian Jesposito? I mean, Bapes Clan seems to be holding a pretty high floor.
It's your job to know about this guy, Cryptopolis.
Yeah, you're like, I got some alpha. This sounds like...
No, I wanted to get your guys' opinion. I mean, I haven't been around that long. I mean, so you guys don't know who this guy is, Brian.
Brian Jesposito.
He sounds like he's friends with my neighbor.
Jesposito. So Bapes Clan, is that doesn't ring a bell? Okay, well, then I guess it's bearish. I thought you guys would know about...
I know the Bapes, but like, weren't what happened to them?
That's what I'm saying. I don't really know. I mean,
yeah, it feels like a rug think? At this point. I don't know.
Yeah, Cryptopolis, we love having you on the show. I want you to come back with a bunch of research on this because it's your job to know about those lower end of the market projects. And we're always excited to have you on when you have one. Thank you for surfacing this. You're welcome anytime. Love you. Real quick, I mean, look, we got Sebastian, the COO and co-founder of Sandbox, who's going to help us discuss Thunderbirds. Real quick, before we full tilt dive into Thunderbirds, and remember, retweet the tweet that's pinned at the top and follow Thunderbirds. Want to ask Sebastian, his thoughts. Like, Nick, you had some specific questions about land.
Well, I mean, we were just discussing the land. I'm curious, like, Sandbox is in... Well, actually, I'm curious about two things. One, just what are your thoughts on Other Deed? Like, how does that fit into the ecosystem? What do you think about their approach to things other than, like, and how does that contrast with Sandbox? You guys both have did land sales. You both have tokens. You both, like, there's similarities here. You're both building games. What do you think of their approach? How does that contrast with your approach? Do you feel like they're competition? I mean, obviously this space is growing, so it's not like the market is limited, but what have you learned from what they're doing and how is that influencing some of the stuff that you're building with Sandbox? If you're here.
You got to unmute, by the way. He's scaling Sandbox right now. You can't be worried about unmuting when you're scaling Sandbox. No big deal. We will circle back on that. Perfect time to talk about our sponsors. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, I've said a bunch of times, you got to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Thunderbirds. Would love to just get an introduction to what Thunderbirds is as an NFT collection and a little bit about what you guys are building, and then we'll dive deeper. But welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? PO, Nick, Signal, Vicky, you guys all well?
Absolutely. How you doing?
I'm all good. You're going to have to be a bit patient with me. We had a live event yesterday in real life, 250 people, a private show, talking about the launch of the NFT. So I'm a bit exhausted, but I'm going to do my best. You've had me in stitches. I've been laughing too much. There's too many fun gags that have been dropped on this stage right now as we're speaking. So to talk a little bit about the Thunderbirds NFT introduction itself. So Thunderbirds International Rescue Club, that NFT is going to be an innovative collection, and it's based on the 60s show. Are there any Thunderbirds fans on the stage with me?
Thunderbirds, Argo.
Yes. Go on, Signal.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I used to watch Thunderbirds, and even when you say the word Thunderbirds, I just get the music in my head. It's like iconic music. So I'm a huge fan of Thunderbirds.
I mean, Strava, I heard Nick as well chime in. Nick, are you familiar with the
brand? I've seen it. I mean, I feel like that it ended up on Cartoon Network. Maybe you've syndicated it or something like that, because I definitely saw it. I've seen those characters before. So, yes, I don't remember the entire the whole show, and so the music does not come to my head as per Signal, but I've seen these characters before, and I think they ended up just replaying them on Cartoon Network for a period of time.
Yeah, so a lot of the content. Go on, Micah, my bad.
No, I was gonna say, I just looked it up, 1965, so when Nick was like a young teenager, maybe he saw it on TV.
Me, when I saw it on TV, yeah, it's probably. I was actually probably in college by that point, Micah. So there you go.
I mean, the way that the big interesting kind of challenge we've undertaken is that, like Micah's just said, you know, it was a 60s IP, and to be able to kind of take that and then transcend that now into what that can be in Web3, in blockchain, in NFT, it's a real interesting journey that we've had to kind of take ourselves on and get into the mindsets of really what people are expecting now. So it's going to be a collection of 5, 4, 3, 2 is the countdown to the Thunderbird song, Signal, you may recall. And so there'll be a collection of 5,432 generative NFTs. They'll be dropping on the 30th of September. And that will be a blind drop, and you'll be able to catch them. You'll be able to see them. And they'll be the 3rd of October. So there's a whole kind of bunch of phases in the run up to this. But I mean, what I'd like to do is sort of just to push this out to everybody on the stage. Are any of you kind of familiar with other old legacy IPs that have taken some time to really bring themselves forward and try and create a more future-proof strategy for themselves?
I mean, I love the idea of taking, IP from, a previous time. I mean, look, nostalgia, like I live in Brooklyn, right? So you get a ton of, you get a ton of kind of like the hipster vibe, right? Where people are having vintage clothes and stuff. But I love the idea of applying it to the NFT space. So, can you tell us a little bit about the partnership with Sandbox too? And then we can dive deeper into Thunderbirds as a collection.
Absolutely, P.O. So yeah, so we're super excited about the way that we're kind of getting the intellectual property ready for Sandbox. The collab that we see is that we're going to be taking what was known as Tracy Island, which was a very significant part of the foundation for the Thunderbirds International Rescue Team. We're going to be building that with much more talented builders than I, specifically in the Sandbox. And these guys were traveling around, I'm going to say broadly, traveling around a big universe in rockets, right? They need to land their rockets somewhere. So for us, that Tracy Island needs to be Sandbox. And I think the way the building mechanics lean towards the way we want to realize that activation, give us a bit more flexibility and agility to kind of really bring it to life a lot for the community. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think as well, what we've seen, and I think it's already been touched upon, like kind of with the other side, and really what we want to do is we need more flexibility, because we want to have more in-game utility for the people that are purchasing the NFTs. So there's a three kind of phase run up to this PO. That phase itself is there's going to be a mint pass. That mint pass will be, it's free. It's free to go and grab. I'm going to shout plus gas like under my breath.
Sure.
But it's free to go and grab, for, obviously, plus gas for the Ethereum blockchain. They will be available for people to go and pick up on the 6th of September. That's going to be a limited volume of 1,000, right? So straight away, like there's a great opportunity for anybody that's in space and wants to go and grab one of those passes. Absolutely. We're doing 3 mint pass giveaways today as well for everybody in the space because of the love and support you guys are already showing. The next phase of this is an online art auction. So what we've done there, PO, is on the 15th of September, we're finalizing the platforms we're considering, but there'll be 7 unique pieces of art specifically been created by various artists, and one will be auctioned each day. And anybody that jumps on and cops that will also get a free NFT in return as well. So we're really keen to keep bringing people back into the ecosystem of what we're putting together. And then phase three, right? Phase three is public launch, and public launch itself takes place on the 29th of September. That's exclusively for the Mint Pass holders, and they can grab up to 3 NFTs each. And on the 30th of September, it's public. Pricing for the 30th of September is around $150, 0.09 Ethereum, or thereabouts. Entirely randomized and all revealed on the 3rd of October.
Epic. So you basically have the three phases booked out for the next couple months. Micah just raised his hand. Micah, do you have a question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, my first thought to it that I'm curious about is, like, obviously when you talk about the show, then potentially some of the, you know, like, younger, I mean, in this space, younger members could be a lot of things, but, like, you're talking about something very technical. So what are you doing to sort of attempt to either add lore or add some sort of connection to that land? You know, like, if you're building it to be you know, honest to what the show was and make it look very similar to things in the show, like, what is the plan for sort of trying to either, like, introduce new people to the old show or, like, add stuff to it to bring connection? Or what's the plan there to, like, kind of drum up support for people potentially they're looking into this IP that they haven't seen before? Like, what's the goal there?
Yeah, there's absolutely, there's a few ways we're going about that. One of the things which we've been super inspired by is when, and obviously because there's a sandbox alpha right now, you know, you can jump in, you can walk around, you can interact with different podiums, different areas of interest, and you can learn about the various NFTs that are up on the walls or the potential IP that you're kind of interacting with. So I think providing some level of heritage loyalty information, talking about really where that IP's come from and where we're taking it, will be a really fun way for us to try and interact, A, with the Web3 native audience that are already blockchain centric. And for us, I think the wider net we're trying to cast here, Micah, is that a lot of the community that we're talking to that are already Thunderbirds native won't necessarily already be really interested in Web3 as a space. So we have a direct partnership with the content licensing team behind Thunderbirds. And we're working out some really clever ways that we can get to that wider audience as well that maybe aren't already here. So I'm not going to say that the task is complete. It's a mission that we're undertaking, but we're excited to get our teeth into it to really try and address it. Does that answer that question, sir?
Yeah, and I like that. You're saying that, Elsa, you're trying to bring people in where Thunderbirds is a draw, but Web3 is not. So introducing new people, which, of course, we appreciate in this space.
Yeah, it's the most important thing. And the pinned tweet on the Thunderbirds Twitter, which is effectively, it's like a trailer, right? Yeah, it's a trailer. I think it's really high production value. It also showcases the sandbox in a big way. And then I also wanted to point out to everybody, you guys are running, like, obviously we have the giveaway for this show, but you guys are running a kick-ass giveaway. Like, you're doing a really good job of spreading the word on Thunderbirds. So there's a Gleam link, G-L-E-A-M, right? And so if you go to the Thunderbirds Twitter account and you click on the link that's right in the profile, it's a gleam.io link. And you guys are giving away sandbox land, which anybody that's in the NFT space knows has value, is a really liquid market. You guys are giving away like 0.1 ETH 10 times. You're giving away some free mints. You're giving away exclusive commissioned artwork. So there's a lot of action that's happening for you guys spreading the word. I think you're doing a great job. Nick has his hand raised. What's going on, Nick?
The thing I was wondering about is, like, why historically we've seen last year, we bought land and sandbox was kind of a common refrain amongst a lot of the projects that we're launching. And so one of the issues there, though, is that, I mean, the game's still in development. It's continuing to be developed. And so I'm wondering, like, what was the inspiration to sort of drive to say, hey, all of the utility is going to experience, like, occur within sandbox? I mean, this is one of the tightest integrations that we've seen, at least that I've seen, in terms of full depth of existing in sandbox. What was the driver there to go down that path versus, like, just launch a standard PFP project, which is kind of the common move?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think... So the way a lot of the utility that we're broadly focusing on is going to play key parts is that once we've done the 3rd of October generative art reveal, so everybody knows what their NFTs look like, we want to have some early on utility. And that itself is going to lean into what we're calling a secret room, Nick. And that secret room is something that will be people, the NFT holders, they'll be able to access anyway. Those are holders that hold a mint pass will actually get some additional advantages. And we're building in some fun escape room mechanics, which mean that you don't necessarily need to be in the sandbox, part of that sandbox, part of that wider focus utility, which we are going to activate in. I think the driver for the sandbox, it comes from reach, and I try and pull a lot on the experience I've got within the games industry, and I've been there really for about 8 years now. There's over 3 billion people that play games. There's a big wide market addressable audience to attract, and a lot ultimately young people are the people that will then come through, start to gravitate towards other games that are similar, the Minecraft, the Roblox, the Fortnite audiences. And really what we're focusing on is what those audiences are going to comfortably gravitate towards, which is native for them, that also allows us to harness a wider audience base to really grow loyalty and grow tenure and grow with them in that experience. So the sandbox, I feel like it gives us a more agile opportunity to do that. Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of other different metaverse environments you could consider. But yeah, for us, I think for us and for the creativity and the way we want to build and the opportunities for individuals to be able to create their own revenue and incomes in the sandbox is, again, quite innovative and it's a bit different now. So currently, that's really why we're staking our claim very much to work to activate there.
Yeah, and Nick's a big fan, I know, of escape rooms. So maybe, I don't know if you have any follow-up questions on that, Nick. I've watched this trailer like 3 times now.
What?
I mean,
what type of question am I asking about?
I mean, just ask him about the escape room. No, I'm just kidding.
Nick's played a game before, so maybe you got something to ask about
Right, but I mean, like when I look at this trailer, it's like Full Tilt filmmaking, right? And so first of all, that just demonstrates the level of effort that's going in. But then I also love like that the escape room thing and just the sort of experiential nature of what you guys are doing, because that's what we're going to see. You know, we've had other collections, other NFT businesses come on the show that are focused on that experience part. And I really do think that the next iteration of participation in the NFT space is going to be in that way, because the first iteration was kind of like hot potato in a lot of ways, which is like buy the NFT, sell it when it goes up, don't get caught holding the bag. And a lot of people thought that was fun because it was basically just Full Tilt gambling. But we can't expect that long term that's going to be the direction that this innovative technology focused space goes in. So I love the experiential nature, you know, of your business and you know, the idea that people are going to just want to participate. What a crazy idea in the NFT space. People are going to want to participate to have fun, you know, while holding an asset, while being part of a community. So I love that.
Yeah, I think as well, like, I mean, I hold a few NFTs myself, and some of them I don't necessarily hold them just because I expect them to pump and then make an absolute fortune. It's because I genuinely quite like the community or the sentiment or finding that kind of commonality. PO, something that you mentioned, though, that's absolutely an influence I've taken and inspiration is when I was over at NFT NYC, I took part in the Cool Cats activation. And for me, really, for us being in this space, it's about creating mass user adoption. Cool Cats themselves, they threw a QR code up on some bus stations all over the city, and then it was scan this QR code, pick a day, and I saw people coming in, like families, children coming in that weren't Cool Cats holders, but they were introducing themselves to the idea of intellectual property being more than just an image that you see. And so being able to kind of win the hearts and minds of people and do it in a really meaningful way that's fun, that's engaging, that's different, I think that's kind of what gets to us as human beings. We want to be part of something which you've got more value in and grows with your experience. So yeah, we're on this journey. It's it's a big hill to climb, but it's great to have. We're not just coming in this with some IP that we've created. We're coming in with IP and partners that are putting a lot of confidence in us. And we've got a team of over 60 doxed people spread across the UK, Denmark, India, other countries. So like it's important that people are investing in something which they can kind of see that growth and they can really hang their curtails on, understanding that we have strategy and business acumen behind this, not just the idea of let's try and pump something and try and work out what we're going to do once we've got some liquidity.
Yeah, I mean, when Eric sent me the website and I saw the team, like, you know, it's one of those situations where you have all the team members' LinkedIn profiles linked. And, you know, just what you just said, we've been talking about this more and more, is just the idea of people coming in and wanting to leverage, you know, the technology available and, you know, the growing space to you know, what a crazy idea, actually build something real, actually build something good. And we love to see that. You know, compared, it's just such a breath of fresh air. And it also validates the thesis that we all have about the underlying NFT technology, which is kind of the whole, reason that we're here. Whether you're a technologist, whether you're an artist, whether you're an investor, whether you're just someone that consumes content, that's why we're all here. And you're going to see more and more quality I don't even like to call it a project, right? Quality, like Web3 businesses and brands coming in to really deliver something that's interesting. And I mean, yeah, I love to see, you know, you guys actually putting in the work to build something real. And I saw you unmuted. Was there something you want to add?
I would just say that it's platforms, you know, like what you guys host as well, are a really important part of this, because you can get out to that community that are already Web3 native, and we're all ambassadors for this space to drive that level of transparency and ultimately bring more people into this space. So it's more and more, I think, about creating more transparency, driving more clearer narrative, and really removing a lot of those red flags and concerns, which no doubt we've all been burned by once or twice in the past.
Absolutely.
I would just say, in addition to that, and just a quick shout out to Vicky was the very, very kind speaker on the stage that saw me in the Oliver Twist movie and gave me that magic ticket to come into Apefest. So I've got to give Vicky a quick shout out for her support as well, not too long ago when we were over at NFT NYC. So yeah, you got some absolute quality on the stage, PO, as well. So no, thanks so much.
Hell yeah. Well, shout out to Vicky. So yeah, Vicky wants to say something. Otherwise, I have another question, but I'm just announcing to everyone, this is your last chance to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and to follow Thunderbird's Twitter profile. I'm going to be drawing the winners, you know, while we're having this discussion here and inviting them on stage in just a second. I'm going to shift off some of the speakers so I can let the three winners come on stage. So if I request you and you're in the audience, that means that you won. So accept my request. So if people retweeted and everything and they're you know, looking to win, have your eye on your phone right now. But Vicky, wait, so you recognized him from a movie?
Who, Thunderbirds or Warren?
Warren.
Warren, how did I meet you, Warren? Was it with Bex from Nifty World? I think I've known you about six months, but it's always good to have a British person in space. And taking one of like my kind of like moments was being able to have a plus one and take Warren into Apefest was just amazing, because when someone's not part of that ecosystem, he really got to see what I've known all along, is that, like, it sounds weird to say, we're just one big dysfunctional family, but he got to see the other side of it, which I was really happy about.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And you know, just a question regarding Thunderbird. So obviously, let's say things go incredibly well, and like for the next 6 to 12 months, your focus on metaverse assets, metaverse, you know, business is going really well. Longer term, like if you extrapolate out 3 to 5 years, do you see like physical collectibles and physical product getting in the mix?
Yeah, so I think this is something which I'd love to see, and it's something which I think kind of feels quite natural. What I imagine would possibly happen is that there'll be more content created that again attracts a wider audience, and in turn the merchandise piece starts to generate revenue. I think, PO, you were talking about alternative revenue streams earlier, right?
Yeah, and sorry, I was muted for a second. Yes, yeah, Jeez, yeah, I'm clicking the mute button left and right. You might have to unmute. But anyway, yes, we were talking about alternative revenue streams, and it's something that, in my opinion, every NFT Web3 business is really going to have to think about. You can't solely depend on royalties to run the business long term.
Right. I mean, the big advantage that places like Sandbox provide is as I say, that they give users the opportunity to create their own revenue streams. And it's slightly different from the games industry, because, you know, you buy a game and simply put, you're then within that ecosystem. You spend money on the in-app purchases and all that revenue goes to a gaming publisher. The flexibility and agility of a Sandbox is that people come in and they can actually benefit and create their own environment and opportunities and revenue. So I think merchandising is absolutely an interesting place. I'm a big fan of IRL activity, right, in real life activation, and I love the idea of taking this community that we're building and then having a milestone as like an in real life festival. It was something that blew my mind when I went to Ape Fest. It was incredible when I was at the Kesha concert, Madonna concert, and some other low key flex, you know, opportunities I would never have the opportunity to go to, PO, if I wasn't an NFT holder. And also, I got to meet amazing people like Vicky. So being able to kind of see, I think, the way communities are getting built, revenue will really come from those key things which we're quite comfortable with in real life. And I think the innovation places, such as the publishers, such as ways of people being able to build and get remunerated for those bills, will also we'll start to see separate and different ways of diversifying people's revenues. So yeah, it's an exciting time to be in the space, regardless of the direction and the way you manage to land here.
Super exciting. And so, yeah, I mean, we've got two winners on stage. We've got Collector of NFTs.eth and Dohan. We're waiting for Brinks Money Long, which is a hell of a name. Brinks Money Long, you got another 25 seconds or so to come on stage. I've invited you. Accept the invitation. I've invited one more winner. If he beats you to the stage, Brinks Money Long, then that's it. But I'm giving you the first shot because you were the first winner's name that I drew. So just, I guess, one more question. So, you know, the first date is the 6th. So that's Tuesday, 4 days from now. What action should people be taking? They should definitely be going to your Twitter profile and signing up for that Gleam giveaway, that Gleam contest, because they have a chance to win 0.1 ETH. They have a chance to win commissioned artwork. They have a chance to win Sandbox Land, which is a big time thing to be given away. But what action should people that have interest in the Thunderbirds right now be taking?
They should be heading over to their calendars. They should be marking down the 6th of September as a date that they can jump on the official website, the official Thunderbirds website links, and grab themselves a free mint pass plus gas. But yeah, they should be doing that as the immediate. That's going to give them the opportunity. As I say, on the 29th of September this month, they'll be able to mint up to three NFTs themselves as a guarantee, just because they've got that mint pass. So that's their door to our reality.
That's what I'm talking about. So for the winners, while we wait for the very last winner to come on stage, we got two winners on stage. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, was that someone? Was that Nick speaking? No. For the winners, how you guys feel right now? You're the big winners of the day. Are you excited about Thunderbirds?
Oh, I'm super pumped, man. Thank you, guys. Super hype.
Absolutely. So I'm going to DM you guys for your ETH wallet. Dohan, how do you feel right now?
I mean, I'm one of the older guys in the NFT space, so I actually remember this show. So it's kind of cool that my first ever win in the NFT space is this project.
Awesome. Well, I want to shout out to, so Brinks Money Long did not come. I'm going to cancel his invite. We got Digital Trophies, who I've requested, and we've got Stratton Tristan, who I've requested. So the first of you two that come on stage will be the third winner. I'm going to DM the other winners to collect their wallet addresses, you know, and get them to the Thunderbirds team. It's always great to see, projects, you know, businesses, collections that come in with the deep partnerships, that come in with a real plan. It's really exciting stuff. Okay, there we go. Digital Trophies, the last winner. Digital Trophies, how do you feel?
I'm good, man. Thanks. This is awesome. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. Any closing thoughts from the Thunderbirds team before we wrap?
Yeah, I just want to say as well, thanks so much for everybody on the panel, your passion, your questions, everybody in the community for listening to the conversations today as well. Please take PO's advice, head over to the Gleam link that we've already mentioned. There's some big prizes to play for there as well, totaling $3,500 across a number of different services. So please get part, be part of that. And yeah, join us on the International Rescue Club to really focus on a big wide opportunity. And we're bullish on you guys. And thanks so much for the support.
Hey, thank you. And, you know, again, it's just so great to see people that are trying to do it for real, in the NFT space, in the Web3 space. And I hope, you know, the audience can kind of take a look at everything that you guys have going on. Take a look at that trailer that I was talking about, which is legit filmmaking. Take a look at, you know, the things that you're kind of, you know, putting forward, and understand, you know, the difference between like a proper Web3 business and, you know, someone that's just kind of like dipping their toe in, right? So shout out to Thunderbirds. Everybody check them out. Follow them on Twitter. Check out the Gleam giveaway for sure. And check out that trailer that's pinned to the Twitter profile. This is the last show of the week. We will see you guys next week. Shout out to Cryptopolis, who brought up like Despacito. It's stuck in my head. So we'll give you guys this one to go into the weekend. All right.